his son. And when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Dustin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Everything is alright. He kissed and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was.
Talk
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nigel A. James. Welcome to Talk 49 here on Radio Orange. I have a very, very interesting guest this morning. A bit of a mystery because I've never met my guest before. His name is Bubba Tyson. He comes from the United States and he does all sorts of things. But Tyson, Bubba, thanks very, very much for getting up and coming and talking to us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Nigel. It's truly a blessing being here with you this morning. So much gratitude to you.
Thank you very much. Bubba, you are many things. traveler, and we've got lots and lots to talk about, but you are a guru. Baba, many people have different ideas of what gurus are. Tell us what you think and what is a guru? Baba, please.
So a guru isn't a person. A guru is an energy. It's a frequency. It's a presence. And so a lot of people have these different definitions and ideas of what a guru looks like and what that's supposed to mean. But essentially a guru is someone that is a frequency holder, maintains a certain state of being, a certain frequency, and the people around them, if they're willing to receive that frequency, it can lead to liberation.
It can lead to liberation. Because, Baba, you mentioned people have ideas of what gurus look like and what they do, but you actually do look like a guru. You've got long hair, beard. You're what everybody... You look like what everybody thinks a guru should look like, and it makes you authentic, okay? Baba's clapping his hand in appreciation.
Thank you,
there.
Nigel, thank you.
Authentic. Gurus lead people into light with this presence they have. Tell us a bit about your daily regular activities as a guru. Tell us about this.
So it's not really like about activity. It's a state of being. It's just the way you are. It's your state of being is a frequency. Everything in the universe is frequency. And so it's not about doing anything specific. It's just being is what it is.
People look to gurus for inspiration, for light. These people are looking for something. What is it about your presence that draws them to you?
I am a reflection of truth and unity. People that want to experience ultimate well-being, no longer the trap of the memory and imagination, people who want liberation and want to be able to experience more of themselves, their true selves, their authentic selves. That is how I show them how they can discover that, remember that about themselves, who they truly are, what they truly are.
That's very, very fascinating. You help people discover who they are, what they are, but there must have been a point in your life when you discovered that you are a guru. What happened? What happened, Baba? What happened? When was this experience and how did it reveal itself and where were you? This kind of stuff.
Well, that's quite a long story. Okay, so it started 2 years ago. Well, I guess I could say this is when my transformation happened, but I've been prepping for it my whole life. But 2 years ago, I was on death's doorstep. I almost died. I should have died. And what I was sick with was after my father died 12 years ago, I got really bad into injecting heroin and cocaine, and my arms became super infected with black holes, and sepsis was setting in my system, and my intuition was telling me, screaming at me to refuse all medical attention, and so that's exactly what I did. And when I did that, I transcended the fear. And one day, without ever meditating before or being spiritual or religious or anything like that in my entire life, I sat down and my eyes closed on their own. And I fell into a very deep meditative state that's known as samadhi. And when I was in the samadhi state, I remembered everything. I healed myself. I remembered other lifetimes. It woke up latent psychic abilities. I remembered from like a soul level why I chose every single circumstance in my life, why I chose this birth. I'm continuing something in this life that I started in another life. And I just remembered who I truly am and what I am.
So 2 years ago, roughly speaking, you had this incredible transformation, you could say. You fell into this trance. How would you put it again?
It's the deepest meditative state. Samadhi.
Samadhi. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Samadhi. This is in Somali or Simani?
Samadhi.
Samadhi. Okay, well, where does this word come from? Tell us a little bit about that.
So the word is Sanskrit, and it comes from the yoga culture. And what it means is there's different levels to Samadhi, but ultimately what it means is a complete dissolution of ego and a merging of your individual consciousness with universal consciousness. And so when I opened my eyes from that Samadhi state, it's like I've now been in this permanent, I guess you could say, waking state of Samadhi, where I experience everything and everyone as myself. The veil that we incarnate with is no longer there, and I no longer feel the illusion of separation. So it's like, in your experience, Nigel, I'm talking to you right now. You are Nigel and I am Tyson, right? That's separation. But in my experience, I'm just talking to myself, because there's only one. All is one. And you are just another manifestation of me, or of the one.
I am just another manifestation of you.
Mm-hmm.
And together, we're the one.
Everything is the one. Because okay. It's all is one.
How did you come across this philosophy? Perspective is a better word, maybe.
So it's not a philosophy. This is quite literally how the universe is built. This is something that you can never understand with the analytical mind. It must be experienced. And so when you can, it's hard to describe. You know, my entire family, all my friends, when this happened, they all thought I went insane. They all thought I had psychosis, and they wanted to bring me to the mental hospital and put me on medication and all of that, you know. When you can start perceiving things, hearing things, seeing things that other people can't, in Western medicine, they label that as psychosis. They label that as unstable. They just have a very limited understanding of the grander of consciousness.
The grander consciousness. You mentioned the universe. That's something that cannot be measured. Nobody can really see, except some people can see that this never has an end. It's not true that nobody can. I know people who can see that there is no end to what's out there, and we're just part of it. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you think about this conventional idea of the universe and what it really is, according to
most people, when they think universe, they just think of like the material matter world, you know, like the space and the stars, and scientists tell you it's like 13.8 billion years old or whatever. And I don't know anything about that. But what I've experienced is that everything is consciousness. And so everything exists within consciousness. Consciousness isn't in the brain. It isn't, we weren't monkeys that became self-aware. It isn't like that. It's existence itself is consciousness, the one energy, and every single thing in existence is just another manifestation of that one energy.
It's very, very clear and interesting point, because all of us are related. We're all connected. We all came from the same source,
mm-hmm.
originally.
Yes.
That's how it worked. There are ideas of evolution that we were once monkeys or this and that. Tell us what you think of this, and why isn't it true, or why is it true?
Well, I can't speak on the whole science side of it, but, you know, evolution is obviously real. you can, consciousness evolves just like organisms evolve. So consciousness goes way deeper than most people realize. And so in the third density of consciousness, which is what humans are experiencing now on planet Earth, it's all about separation. It's to experience the illusion of separation. So since how reality is built is its polarity. So it's all frequency, and it's like two sides of the same coin. So you have one side that's fear, and the other side we'll say is love. And so it's all about learning how to raise your vibration from fear, from the fear frequency, the low vibration, to your highest vibration of authenticity, or we can say is love for terms of conversation. And so in the third density where we're at now, we choose to incarnate and impose major limitations on ourselves to feel such separation from source. We come into this life and we don't even realize that we existed before this life. We know nothing. We have this veil, right? The whole point of it is transforming, choosing to transform yourself from the low vibration of fear, which is what we get programmed into by society, the government, the news, the school systems, all these things, all these limiting beliefs, and raising your frequency, transmuting all that, transforming to your highest frequency of authenticity. And when that happens, if someone has enough willingness to do that, when that happens, something like they can experience something like I did without ever meditating before or having a clue of what any of that even means, just fall into a samadhi state and actually remember that you're a spiritual being that chose to have a human experience.
We are spiritual beings that chose to have a human experience. That's what you just
yes,
said.
Yes, that is
it's
correct.
Very, very interesting. So all of us had a life before this life or existed previously. We reincarnated. We became a substance again. Okay, so where were we in the meantime? Because none of us chose to be born when we were born. Or maybe you think differently about that. You've got this smile telling me, no, that's not true. Come on.
So
this former lives, previous existences maybe, I don't know. Come on.
Okay, so I'm just speaking from my experience. That's everything I go off of is directly from my experience. So what I learned from my experience is that we choose everything. Nothing happens on accident and nothing is random. And so your higher mind is constantly guiding you to learn, to be willing to transcend fear so that you can raise your frequency and become more in alignment with your higher self, with your soul's core vibrational frequency, we'll call it. And so when I was in the samadhi state, I remembered that I chose to have this birth. I remembered that why I chose my parents. I remembered why I chose every single circumstance in my life, even the ones that I used to define as negative or traumatic or bad, the things that scarred me deeply for years. I chose all of that. Nothing happens on accident. Nothing is random. My higher mind chose all of that simply to learn how to transcend fear, the frequency of fear, to dissolve the belief systems that I was choosing to believe to be true that were limiting me. Like defining something as traumatic instead of being able to see that everything's actually happening for us. Everything's there to serve us in a positive way. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't manifest if it wasn't relevant for our life path to experience it. And it's our job to figure out how and why it's there to serve us in a positive way, to find the silver lining in everything.
I wonder, that's an interesting point. Find a silver lining in everything in the world we're living in. People are being bombed, killed, everything else. Maybe they don't quite see this as a very positive way for them. But anyway, that's a point that can be discussed for hours and hours and hours, mm-hmm. No doubt. You mentioned fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is caused by the not knowing of what's going to happen. And therefore, people have invented hope. How do you handle hope? Isn't hope a very, like, icing on a very negative situation? The word hope, everybody uses it. I know people who don't use it because they don't like the word, mm-hmm. the word hope. It means you're not happy with what you've got or you're scared. Instead of handling that and just leaving everything to happen as it may happen, tell us your thoughts on this.
So, okay, I guess that's how you would define hope, right? Like how, what I think of hope is that it's believing that something can be better, a possibility that something can be different than what it is. And so if someone's defining something as negative and that's how they're choosing to perceive the world, having the hope is the willingness to be able to change that belief system, to be open to a possibility that something better, something greater can happen instead of being stuck in a limiting belief that this is the way it is and it's always going to be this way and we might as well just accept that it sucks or whatever.
I think hope actually is a way of people saying that they're not happy with what's happening. They may be seriously ill. They may have a partner who's seriously, they may be facing a big exam and this and that, and they hope they're going to pass it. But in actual fact, this word hope, it tends to lead to a reliance on events that we could control, but we don't. If you're going to take an exam, you can easily pass every exam by sitting down and learning and working instead of just hoping, which is a very abstract idea, really.
I guess, like, when I think of hope, it's more in alignment with faith. And when I say faith, I mean that it's just trusting that everything's going to unfold the way it's supposed to unfold because nothing happens on accident and nothing is random. And you create your reality based on your belief systems. So physical reality is all built based on belief systems. So whatever you're choosing to believe to be true is what manifests in the physical reality. And I don't mean the conscious beliefs, I mean the unconscious beliefs that you're not even aware you're believing to be true. And so how it works is when you start doing the internal investigation within yourself and you start discovering these belief systems that you're choosing to believe to be true, you can let them go. And when that happens, that's how you raise your frequency. So every single thing you've ever felt, Nigel, every emotion ever, positive and negative, you feel because you believe you have to. And so what it's all about is it's discovering the core belief that's making you believe you have to feel a certain way. Let it go. And this is how you can learn to walk through life effortlessly, no longer allowing your circumstances to influence your state of being. And that is liberation.
That's very, very good. Reinforcing your beliefs, what you just said, I think going through life reinforcing this. But we do reinforce our beliefs from life. We meet people, we read great books, we do all sorts of things that do take us somehow and lead us. Tell us what sort of great books and gurus write books, read books, and generally they function on a high level. Tell us what you think of books and what other people write that have influenced you.
I can't really speak to that. I've never really read any books.
You've never read any books?
No. I've never had the intention to start a book, sat down and read the whole thing to completion. I listened to a little bit of the audiobook, Autobiography of a Yogi, 2 years ago before I was going through my transformation, and hearing the things that Paramahansa Yogananda talks about consciousness, it like unlocked things in me. And it was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment, which opened up my mind, helped me dissolve some of these limiting beliefs that was limiting me from experiencing what I truly am, who I truly am. Because that's all it is. We are pure consciousness. The ego is a facade. It's a series of belief systems that we're choosing to believe to be true about ourselves that we identify with. And that is what's limiting us from realizing, from remembering our true essence as pure consciousness.
How do you handle other people's negative beliefs, the ones who really have a negative effect on all of us somehow? I mean, in the direction of maybe world stage, political stage, actions of other people that do put people in danger and do kill people even. Is this meant to be as well?
So it's important to understand that I don't condone violence, but yes, nothing happens on accident. Nothing is random. And so we choose everything so that we can have an experience. So if you think of consciousness as like, if you think of this as like a dream, we can say, you can have any dream you want. In one night, you go to bed and you can dream an entire lifetime. And you start out dreaming things like all these pleasant things, having nice cars and a bunch of beautiful women, let's say, and all this money and beautiful beaches and whatever. And after a while, you're going to get bored of that. And then you're going to want to throw some challenges in there. And then after a while, you're going to want to keep challenging and breaking more limitations and experiencing every single possibility, infinite number of perspectives. You're one perspective, I'm one perspective, the tree's another perspective, this coffee mug is another perspective. Everything is consciousness. It's not just what we people think is living beings. Everything is alive. Everything is consciousness because everything exists within consciousness. Source wants to have infinite number of perspectives of itself, an infinite number of manifestations. And in the third density of consciousness, which is what most humans are at here on planet Earth, it's about experiencing transformation from low vibration of fear to highest vibration of their personal highest vibration, which is authenticity, or fear to love. And so that's what it's all about. And you do that by dissolving these belief systems, these negative fear-based belief systems that you're choosing to believe to be true, that are not in alignment with your true self.
You mentioned the word authenticity. Mm. How do we know when we're authentic? How do we know we've reached this point? I know quite a few yogi people, Anna Marie, I know well, I know a lot of other people, they're on their search, they're looking for themselves. How does anybody know when they found themselves?
So some people think authenticity is like just the way you act, the way your personality is. You know, some people say like, well, this is me, and if you don't like me, then whatever. When I say authenticity, it's not a personality. That would be ego. When I say authenticity, what I mean in terms of frequency is it's a state of being. So it's if you think of it as, since everything in the universe is frequency, right, your soul has its own individual frequency, which we'll say is your authentic frequency. I have my own authentic frequency as well. It's just a different bandwidth in this greater bandwidth of frequency that's happening. And so your soul communicates to you, Nigel, through the sensation in your body known as your passion or your bliss or your highest excitement. And so when someone has the willingness to act on that, that's without any expectation of the outcome, just doing to do whatever they're passionate about, whatever their bliss is, whatever excites them the most in every given moment, when they do that, that's the physical self communicating back to the higher mind, back to the soul, that they're allowing the highest form of their intelligence to take the wheel and steer their life. And so when you do that, you're actually getting out of your own way. It's all about surrendering to this highest form of your intelligence, dissolving the ego and letting go. And so when you do that, and throughout every circumstance that manifests, you choose to stay in a positive and pleasant state, which means you attach a positive definition to it. You find the silver lining in everything so that every single moment empowers you instead of keeping you in victimhood.
These are very, very true words. Very, very true words. So what you're saying is you've got to surrender to yourself, basically. Surrender to yourself and who you want to be. A lot of people just don't know who they want to be. Sometimes it takes years. And some people understand themselves when they're old, you know, and some are very young. And how old are you, about 25?
38.
38, full respect. You look much younger. Maybe it's your beard and long hair. Who knows? But you've got to be open for others as well. You've got to be really open. If you want to be authentic, you've got to listen to other people being themselves as well. And your life, people say their journeys, your journey has been paved with other people. You need people. You travel the world. Tell us a bit about how you actually live. You're from the United States.
Yes.
You're in Europe, in Vienna, the greatest city, the greatest city on earth,
it's
I believe.
Here, yes.
And how did you get here? Because this involves people, I would imagine.
Okay, so 2 years ago after my transformation, what was happening during that time is my hand would start doing what they call as automatic writing. And so it's when my hand I started journaling my experience, trying to figure out what was going on with me, because like I said, I thought maybe even I was going psychosis, and my whole family thought so as well, being able to starting to perceive all these other things that I'd never been able to perceive before. And so my hand started writing automatic writing, and literally it would just start writing on its own. I'd go into this like trance state, and my hand would just start writing on its own, page after page after page of all this information I'd never heard of before. And I'd come out of this trance state and I'd just read it. And it was literally like channeled from my higher mind telling me everything I needed to do exactly. And I just followed it. I just, whatever was written on the page, I did it without any hesitation, without any, zero hesitation. It didn't matter how crazy it looked, didn't matter how life-threatening it was by refusing all medical attention. Whatever my hand wrote, I just did it willingly, full willingness to just surrender to this process. And then so now wherever my, whatever comes through and tells me where to go, that's where I go.
So actually this automatic writing is you yourself telling you what you should be, where you should be going.
Yeah.
You do have a lot to do with other people. You mm-hmm. meet people and you go places. You're in Vienna because you met somebody maybe.
Yeah.
Tell us this point. So you've got to be really, did your automatic writing tell you to go there and do this, do that? Tell us how this fits in. It's highly, highly interesting.
Yeah, so after my whole transformation, I gave all my money away, all my stuff away, and chose to be homeless. And I started traveling around in my car, and I'd meet people, you know, as I'm moving around that are ready for this, that want to experience liberation. And they would invite me to stay with them in their home, and I would go stay with them and guide them while they heal from all past traumas and while they dissolve these negative limiting beliefs and while they transform. And when I was finished there, I would just move on. And so one day my hand wrote, go to Mexico. I was in Texas. My hand wrote, go to Mexico. 3 days later, I was in Mexico. And when I was in Mexico, in Mazunte, I met several beautiful beings there.
Well, what do you mean, beautiful beings?
Beautiful human beings.
Oh, beings. Sorry, yeah. Beautiful people.
Beautiful people.
Okay.
And I met a wonderful lady that has a summer home in Ibiza, and also another lady that lives near Prague, and then a few people that live here in Austria and in Vienna. And so I went to Ibiza to help that family, stayed there for a few weeks, went to Prague, did the same thing, then came to Austria here, and now here I am.
So being a guru, you really do help people. You came here, you helped people. You've helped people, this lady in Ibiza, as you say, in
Ibiza.
Mexico and these places. So there are a lot of people who do need help. Tell us about this.
What do you, be more specific.
A lot of people are searching for something and they helped through you, you're leading them on to finding themselves maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really just getting out of your own way, you know? It's these limiting beliefs, that's why we call them limiting beliefs, that limit people and into stepping into their highest frequency of authenticity, walking their authentic path, doing what they're truly passionate about, acting on their highest excitement in every given moment. They don't believe they can. They don't believe it can sustain them. They are what some people call as realists or whatever. And it's just all about learning how to surrender. surrender to the natural flow of the way things unfold, because it's all unfolding exactly the way that your higher mind is manifesting, exactly the way your higher mind chose for it to unfold. And so when someone can actually start being able to choose to perceive the world in a positive way and choose to attach a positive definition and find the silver lining in everything, when someone does that, their frequency raises, their heart center expands, they can start perceiving more. And all that's happening there is you are just dissolving the distorted frequency that's keeping you experiencing more of the separation from source, your higher self, and you are just becoming in more unity, experiencing more of the illusion of unity with source, with your higher self. Because you are always fully connected to source all the time. The separation part is an illusion. All this is an illusion.
Everything's an illusion, you say, but not everybody sees it as that. And there are some people who influence other people in a can be very negative way, with by teaching what they perceive to be good, like, for example, religion, maybe would be a good one. How difficult it is it for people who've spent a big part of their life believing in something because that's the way they've been taught, can be by well-meaning people even. And then how do they ever get out of this? It's a question that interests, I'm sure, many people.
It's just a choice. It's very simple, right? Everything is your choice. You choose how you perceive the world. You choose your state of being, your frequency in every given moment. You choose the thoughts and emotions that you're having in every given moment, period. So if you're experiencing thoughts or experiencing emotions that you don't prefer, what you might define as negative, it's happening in the unconscious mind because you have an unconscious belief system in there somewhere that's making you believe you have to experience whatever you're experiencing negatively.
Or maybe they believe it's experiencing it positively. You know what I mean? Without understanding it's negative. People are weak in many respects, strong in other respects. But to understand that they should move on takes a lot of courage, I think. And when they do move on, go on to a different level, it's like jumping off a bridge into a river, maybe, and taking the plunge, maybe.
I mean, sure, there's a bunch of different ways you could look at it, but essentially it's just someone having the willingness to become in more alignment with who they truly are, what they truly are. It's dissolving the ego. The ego doesn't want to give up control. The ego wants to keep you limited. It doesn't matter how toxic or your life is or how dysfunctional your life is. The ego does not want to give up control.
Control is a very, very interesting, very important word here. A lot of people are control freaks. They control other people. Mm-hmm. How do you handle these, let's say, very toxic people?
So I wouldn't call them toxic.
Okay.
Because that's a definition I wouldn't use. It's just someone that's resonating in the fear frequency a lot. It's resonating with them in a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's no such thing as good and bad. It's just the polarity of frequency. They're doing it unconsciously because they have belief systems in there somewhere that make them believe they have to be in control of everything. And so it's really quite simple. Existence in physical reality, like I mentioned a moment ago, it's all about overcoming fear. And there's only six fears that we manifest every single circumstance to learn to transcend the fear of. It doesn't matter your circumstance. Every single circumstance is giving you an opportunity to transcend these six fears. They are the fear of inadequacy, the fear of being uncomfortable, the fear of what others choose to think and feel, the fear of not being able to control your circumstance, the fear of lacking and losing, and the fear of being alone.
Fear of, okay, so we've got indecisiveness.
So we have fear of inadequacy.
Inadequacy, that's
like not being good enough, right?
Not being good enough.
Yeah, like inadequate. Fear of being uncomfortable. The fear of what others choose to think and feel. The fear of not being able to control your circumstance. So that would be the one with the control aspect, right? The fear of lacking or losing, and the fear of being alone.
many people suffer from at least one of these fears. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones is the fear of what other people think of you. And mm-hmm. this is a really strong one, and it really is a barrier that prevents people from doing what they want to do.
Extremely.
Tell us how they get over this one, except coming to talk to you. That would be the best way around that one.
Well, everything is your choice, right? So if you can understand that whatever you're thinking is going on within you, and it's none of my business what you're thinking, what you choose to think and feel, that's your prerogative, that's your business, it's not my business, why should I care? Right? It stems to a belief system. So if someone has a belief system within them, maybe they also have the fear of inadequacy in there, let's say, and they have this fear of whatever it is, they're not even aware it's there, they're going to care what someone else is choosing to think and feel about them because they're looking for external validation because their cup isn't full on their own. They don't love themselves. And so all of this is fear manifests specifically to teach you how to learn to love yourself, to become love, to transform yourself from the low vibration of fear to the highest vibration, which is your highest vibration of authenticity. But in for terms of conversation, it's easy to just say fear and love, fear or love.
Fear or love. Love mm-hmm. is a very, very important, very strong force. It is a strong, strong force. Loving yourself. People who do love themselves never have a problem with what other people think of them.
No.
And I don't know if anybody thinks anything of anybody else anyway. Mm-hmm. Isn't this rather sort of very abstract somehow, thinking that people are thinking of what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. It's so everything is a projection and a reflection. So you can never have a problem with someone else. So let's just say, for example, Nigel, how consciousness works, it's like this. Since all of consciousness is just this, the one, and we're just different manifestations of the one, that means we're the same. So I'm just one character in this video game, we could say, is physical reality, and you're another character of the video game in physical reality. And within this video game, we have a set of parameters that we can only perceive so much because of our programming, like a character in a video game, right? And so I perceive separation. I perceive I am Tyson and you are Nigel. We experience division. We experience separation. And when you start expanding your frequency, dissolving these belief systems and transcending this fear, what happens then is you are just expanding and you're becoming more of your true self. And you start experiencing that. And then your parameters widen. Your parameters get bigger. You can start perceiving more. You no longer experience you as this body. You start to experience you as the entire universe. You are the entire universe choosing to have a human experience instead of a human in the universe.
So can I just come back to this love? I mean, if you love yourself, you are open. And then these fears tend to dissolve themselves because you're accepting people exactly as they are.
Yeah. So it's like this, right? So like all discrimination stems from fear. So let's say you project fear onto me. Like I'll give you a specific example of my life. For the longest time, I was very ashamed of being a drug addict, of constantly having a needle in my arm, you know? Society tells you that's bad and it's shameful and for the longest time, I did not love myself and I didn't like myself. And I thought I was a waste of life and I was just a waste of space and all these things. So let's say you project fear onto me because the circumstance itself doesn't matter. So let's say you discriminate me and you say, oh, look at your arms, you're a junkie, you're a waste of life, you should just go kill yourself. Let's just say, doesn't matter. Stuff that I used to experience, let's say, right? Now, if I buy into that belief system, if I care what you choose to think and feel, if I believe that about myself, then that is the core belief that's making me believe that I have to experience that in a negative way, that I have to feel negative about myself, all because of the belief system that you projected onto me that has nothing to even do with me. It has everything to do within yourself. You're just projecting your own fear and insecurity onto me, your own judgment onto me, but it actually has everything to do within you. So my problem isn't with you by you projecting that onto me as something within myself. And so it's all about learning how to be able to not discriminate you for you discriminating me. Because if I have a problem with you for even you discriminating me, then that means I still have work to do within myself. And that's the whole point. We do this, every circumstance manifests, to transcend the fear. So this version of me is giving you, which is another version of me, the opportunity to transcend the fear by whatever I'm projecting onto you. You choose to not believe it to be true. You choose to transcend those six fears in every given moment. And then you don't discriminate me back, so you're actually keeping your vibration high. You're staying in love. And by doing that, you're giving me an opportunity, showing me by your actions, your behavior, your frequency, that there's a better way to be, and you're giving me an opportunity to raise my vibration to match your love vibration instead of you lowering yours to match my fear vibration.
That's brilliantly put, and that was one thing I was going to ask you. How do we get this message across that we are open to the other person's themselves as well? With how do we get the message across? We're not discriminating. We're really open, and we want to get in touch with you. You know, and we want, because I think many people react automatically to this "what other people think of me" kind of thing.
Sure.
How do we stop that? How do we behave in a way that you said we go up and we can just, maybe just by not saying anything, maybe just giving them space to express themselves, maybe.
Sure.
And accept. Why is listening and acceptance so incredibly important?
Because that's surrendering, right? Accepting is surrendering. And the problem is the more opinions we make, the more belief systems we create by forming opinions, and the more things we identify with, and that creates more of the division, more of the illusion of separation. And so this whole process is about learning how to dissolve all the belief systems, everything you identify with, and no longer forming new opinions in the future about anything. Learning to be able to experience your life neutrally, because everything is actually neutral. Everything is neutral, the positive and the negative. All that is whatever you're choosing to believe to be true, that's the reflection you see back. So if you have a definition somewhere within your unconscious mind that something's negative, then in physical reality, you will perceive it to be negative, because it's there to show you, hey, this is negative, you're experiencing this way, this is fear, let's transcend this right now. Our higher mind's constantly giving you the opportunity to transcend the fear and become love. When someone's unwilling to do this because they have these fears and they run away from it instead of facing it, and they choose to not transcend it, they're not learning the lesson, and all that happens then is they create another circumstance to learn the same thing. So I'm sure maybe you've experienced moments in your life where you've been in like a pattern, let's say, and you're like, why does this keep happening to me? And it keeps happening because you have these unconscious beliefs and you're not transcending the fear. You aren't learning the lesson that your higher mind is manifesting these circumstances to give you the opportunity to learn. And so it's just giving you another opportunity and another opportunity, another opportunity. And that's why we get in this cyclical pattern. To liberate yourself from that is to transcend the fear and to dissolve these limiting beliefs.
Transcend the fear. Those are incredible words. And I'm sure once you can manage this, once you get this, you must feel phenomenally good.
Absolutely. I can't even put into words what it's like. The closest thing I can describe this to, Nigel, is all day long I feel like I'm on extremely high doses of ecstasy and psilocybin and mushrooms at the same time. What I'm able to perceive and how my life, I can't even put it into words, but it's the most amazing feeling that you can ever feel. And I want everyone on the planet to be able to experience this. And this is why I don't care about working a regular job, and I don't charge money for my time and energy. I'm here to just give. I'm here to just help people liberate themselves so they can experience this too, because it's our birthright.
How does it feel actually having helped somebody to get into how they should be? How do you feel? Is this a great feeling too?
Absolutely it is. I mean, my highest passion is helping others to liberate themselves, helping others to raise their frequency. That is what excites me the most. So when I see that come into fruition, of course that excites me. And it motivates me, keeps me more motivated to keep doing what I'm doing.
So that brings you to where you are and what you are. You're somebody who helps people, who really, really helps people in a very, very positive way. We talked a minute ago about these cycles that we can't control or mm-hmm. should control, but there's one cycle we cannot control, and that is time. And we're running out of time. We've only got 7 minutes left, which isn't much time. Mm. Just tell us about some of the people you've touched base with in Vienna or got to know very quickly, maybe.
Sure, yeah. I've met a bunch of great people here in Vienna. Anna Marie, who you all know, Venus Frequency. She's a beautiful being that I met through our mutual friend Alexandra, which is a nice lady that I met in Mizunte, Mexico. And so everywhere I go, I just meet all these wonderful people. Everything I perceive is nothing but positive and blissfulness, because what you perceive in physical reality is what you're attuned to, what you're vibrating at within yourself. So all you have to do is change your perception. All you have to do is dissolve your belief systems. And then in your physical reality, you will manifest circumstances that are in alignment of that higher vibration. And that is all you will experience. You can transcend all of this nonsense. Because it's all built, reality is built by you, for you, specifically for you, by you, to teach you how to transcend fear to your highest frequency of authenticity. And when you do that, nothing can touch you. You are unfazed by anything.
Unfazed by anything. Nothing can touch you. That's mm-hmm. incredible. So first you've got to find yourself, and that seems not such a difficult thing to do.
It's extremely easy.
Extremely easy. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's somebody listening who's really down, who really wants to do this. What can you advise them?
Act on your highest excitement in every given moment without absolutely any expectation of the outcome. While you're doing that, you choose to stay in a positive, pleasant state no matter what manifests. So remember what that means. That means you attach positive definition to everything. You find the silver lining in everything. It doesn't matter what emotion you're feeling, even if you call it negative or whatever, that's okay. It's all about using that in a positive way. It's not about what happens. It's about what you do with it. As you're going through your circumstances, you will manifest circumstances that challenge you, because that's the whole point. And when you break the limitation, when you choose to go within yourself and ask yourself, what am I choosing to believe to be true that would make me believe I have to feel this way? Discover the core belief and let it go. Let go of these fear-based beliefs, these limiting beliefs that are no longer relevant for you, and that's all you have to do.
So everything's within you.
Everything.
So we don't have to look elsewhere. It's all within us.
Everything.
And we've got to accept ourselves. We've been speaking, Baba, for almost an hour now. It's been highly, highly interesting. We've covered many, many topics, points in a small way. We could speak all day. Baba, is there anything we've forgotten that you want to add a word to finish with, maybe, that you think is important?
You are perfect exactly as you are. There's absolutely nothing wrong with any of you who's listening, okay? Everything that you experience in your life, you experience because it's relevant for you to experience. And you can choose how you experience it. And so you are a perfect manifestation of Source. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. The only thing that you might be experiencing is you are limiting yourself because you have these belief systems that you aren't perfect exactly the way you are, but you are. You are an infinite expression of Source, and Source does not make mistakes.
Source does not make mistakes. Brilliant words to end on. Brilliant words to end on. Baba Tyson, all I can say to end with is thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Nigel,
for having me. One of the most interesting interviews I've had here. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, my passion. Thank you so much, Nigel.
Thank you too. And if you're listening at home, we'll be able to, with the next day or two, listen to this interview again on my YouTube channel. Just go to Nigel A. James Vienna on YouTube. Just put that in, Nigel A. James Vienna, and you will be able to listen to this on, you'll find my podcast, Talk 49. There you'll be able to listen to Tyson speaking again. And of course, you can listen to all of my other short stories as well. And we haven't heard any of them this morning. But I will be back next week with much, much more. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thanks once again, Bava, for coming. That was brilliant. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me, Nigel.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. So much love and gratitude to you all.
I think we all got that message. The same back. Thank you very much and see you again next week. Bye-bye for now.
You say you love me more than you could ever love her. The circumstance had made you stay by her side. You'll never leave her. God knows you try.
Talk 49.
Orange 94.0, das freie Radio in Wien.
Zwischen Nähe und Distanz entdecken wir uns selbst.
Mir persönlich ist das ein großes Anliegen, eben das gemeinsame Musizieren.
Also gerade hier in diesem Stück, da geht es ja sowieso um Anwesenheit, Abwesenheit, Vergänglichkeiten.
Und zwar geht es uns um Fragen der Teilhabe und des Ausschlusses. Und es geht auch immer um die Frage, wessen Kunst wird da verhandelt.
Katrins Klangschiene widmet sich Musik aus den Ecken und Nischen des Kulturbetriebs. Experimentelle Sounds, Komponiertes und frei Improvisiertes. Katrins Klangschiene. Jeden ersten Freitag im Monat um 21 Uhr auf Orange 94.0.
Der gute Ton. Hauptsache Musik. Auf Orange 94.0.
Fettige Rauchbude. Festrülpsende Besoffene. Fertige Rockballade. Fördert romantische Belletristik. Flauschiges Riesenbett. Farbiges Rosenbeet. Frisiertes Röstbrot. Freier Radiobeitrag. Zuhören, gerne hören, beitragen. Nähere Info unter www.o94.at/frb.
Zehn Uhr.
Tierrechtsradio, das aktuelle Radiomagazin für Tierschutz, Tierrechte und Aktivismus in Österreich. Jeden Freitag von 10 bis 11 Uhr auf Radio Orange 94.0.
Elf Uhr.
Non-Random Radio.
12 Uhr.
Monikas musikalische Reise. Ein Streifzug durch Ländersprachen, Rhythmen, Melodien und Themen.
13 Uhr.
Stimmlagen.
das Infomagazin der Freien Radios Österreich.
Orange 94.0, das Freiradio in Wien.